Holy Gospel is written in John chapter 4, verses 24 to 26.
Glory to you, O Lord.
God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. And Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, here we are with Psalm 150. It closes the book of Psalms in the Bible with a single resounding statement. Let everything that breathes praise God. The Psalm's theme is so singular in focus that we are left with the clearest message in all of Scripture. Praise God. Imagine what it would look like if the primary focus of our life was to praise God. What would it mean to center every moment, every expression, every thought on praising God? Could we praise God in the midst of turmoil or sickness, or at the last moments of our life? Could we praise God when we are faced with problems which seem to have no solution, to death, the death of someone who is close to us, or the disillusion of marriage or family? Yet here is Psalm 150, saying unequivocally that we are to praise God. The only reason the psalm gives for such a life of praise is that God has done mighty deeds for us, and God's greatness surpasses anything we know. On this holiday weekend, many of us remember with grateful hearts the valiant struggle of our forebears who won our national freedom and established the democracy that we now enjoy. The basic values of America are values to be cherished and celebrated on this day. And as we gather for worship today, we once again affirm that our first calling is to be God's faithful people, reflecting the love that God has toward all people. And our second calling is to live as responsible, caring citizens who continually strive to clarify the values upon which our nation was founded, to understand them and to apply them to all citizens of the nation and peoples who live in our nation. These values have not always been clear or fairly applied to everyone. Particularly during this past year or so, the political, economic, and racial divisions among us have been strikingly evident. And these are only the most obvious divisions. Many of us stand staunchly in our opinions and our actions while claiming to be true Americans. We live in the midst of these contradictions, and still, the psalmist invites us, in no uncertain terms, praise God. What is motivating the psalmist? He or she simply reminds us that God is great, greater than anything in the world, because God is the creator of all things and continues to hold the entire universe in God's palm, including our finest achievements and all our ugly warts and nasty habits. God has done great things for us, and the psalmist keeps shouting, praise God. The 4th of July does not have to be a day that divides people, but when put into proper perspective, it can be a day that unites us with each other and with the world. The following hymn from our Lutheran hymnal is my favorite hymn for the day. It goes like this. This is my song. O God of all the nations, a song of peace for lands afar and mine. This is my home, the country where my heart is. Here are my hopes, my dreams, my holy shrine. But other hearts in other lands are beating with hopes and dreams as true and high as mine. My country's skies are bluer than ocean, and sunlight beams on clover leaf and pine. But other lands have sunlight too, and clover and skies are everywhere as blue as mine. So hear my song, O God of all the nations, O song of peace for their a song of peace for their land and for mine. This is my prayer, O God of all earth's kingdoms, your kingdom come on earth, your will be done. O God, be lifted up till all shall serve you, and hearts united learn to live as one. So hear my prayer, O God of all the nations, myself I give you. Let your will be done. The interesting thing about Psalm 150 is that if we make praising God the central focus of our life, we will eventually realize that our lives change. The gospel story reminds us of how this dynamic works. The story is a familiar one that most of us will know it. In the middle of the day, a Samaritan woman went to draw water from Jacob's well. Jesus was there alone, and he asked her for a drink of water. She was immediately taken by surprise because they were alone at the well, and he was a man and she was a woman. He was a Jew and she was a Samaritan. So the exchange already broke several social taboos of their day. And as the conversation continued, we learned that she was a woman with somewhat questionable reputation, and her social isolation was the reason she came to the well alone. So there were a number of reasons for us to expect an unhappy result of this encounter. However, Jesus reveals to her that he is God's chosen one, and that he could offer something life-changing, which he called living water. And with this enlightenment, the woman began to praise God, thankful that, given her situation, God was reaching out to her with an eternally healing hand. Her praise continued after she left Jesus and she returned to the village where she came from. And regardless of how others saw her or how they might have rejected what she had to say, her new posture of praise would not allow her to be quiet. She told all the villagers about Jesus and suggested that he might be the Messiah they were all looking for. Here is the most wonderful outcome of her praise-filled life. The villagers, all Samaritans, went out to meet Jesus based on what she had told them. And many believed, and against all social, ethnic, and religious taboos, they invited Jesus to stay with them for several days. You see what praising God can do to you and to others around you? But don't just be amazed at the words of Scripture, which already should be the source of your faith. The power of praise continues in the lives of God's people today. The Holy Spirit brought Minister Mandy into our midst. No matter what time of day or night it is, or what the circumstances are that she is engaged in, her witness of praise is seen and heard in the optimistic, cheery way she approaches her peers and our members. Even when her sympathy about what is being shared with her brings her to tears, you can still appreciate that her emotions reflect a praise-filled life. Another person who comes to my mind is Diane Rose. I only knew her for a short time, but I knew she was physically struggling with illness, and I listened as she confidently requested prayers for others and thanked all who prayed for her. In her dying hours, it was clear that Diane continued to praise God for all God had done for her throughout her life, and she fell peacefully asleep in God's grace. I'm certain that all of us could point to faithful persons who have known, that we have known, whose life praised God and caused others to praise God as well. Finally, I would be remiss not to point out how the psalmist suggests we praise God in worship. The psalmist was definitely not a Lutheran. He or she suggests we use instruments in worship like trumpets and lutes and harps and tambourines and strings and pipes. And it is also suggested that we dance, not just clap our hands, bob our heads, or wave our arms, but dance. I leave it up to you to figure this part out. I simply remind us again that our whole life should reflect our praise of God, because God is great all the time. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.